Well, we're teaching, again, about living a life of faith. And it's important about living the life. You know, sometimes we want to do. We're teaching and we're looking at principles of the Word. One of the problems I think over the years that I've looked at in looking at people's lives and difficulties that people go through, many people know all the principles of things. They know all the information about living a life of faith. They know a lot of things about it. But sometimes when it comes to really living it and doing it, they really sort of don't have a clue. And we want to look at, you know, what living a life of faith is. I think sometimes when people look at the Word of God from a technical side, and understand this, the Word of God must be livable or it is of no value. It must be livable. You must be able to do it. If you can't do it, it's of no value. And we live in what? An informational society. And there's one thing as we need as believers to concerning ourselves is not get caught up in the spirit of our society. The spirit of our society is this. You gain as much information as you can about everything, but do nothing with it. Our society is filled with information, but people can't even tie their shoes today. I mean, my words, they can't do nothing on their own. They have to have somebody patting them and petting them all the time. And I look around at Christianity as a whole, and that they're all in the same boat. You got to pat them and pet them all the time. Everybody has to be patted and petted to get to do what's right to do. And really, and I know that there's such a spirit of change from the time that I was younger. You know, this January I'll be 64 years old. When I was younger, I mean, people weren't patted and petted all the time. I mean, today, the Christian world, I'm sorry, but most churches you'll go to and most of the ministry that they have is all these different things is all set up to pat and pet everybody. You know, it's every ministry is a playpen where you get one or two people who know how to do something and all their job is to pet and pat those people to keep them happy in that group. And we got to come past that. You know, I'll tell you what, when I look back, you know, we got to come to the place I think about. Life was so much easier, really, in many ways, when I was younger. Because you just knew what you were supposed to do, and you had to do it, because ain't nobody was going to do it for you. It was real easy. And but people today wear themselves out running around trying to find somebody who is living the right life. And they're looking for that individual to come and take care of them, and to help them. That's what they're doing. You know, a lot of people, they can watch the TV ministers. They suck all this stuff up and look at, they read their books because they're looking to them to help them. Because they can't do nothing on their own. So, you know, they got to keep looking these people. And what happens is really, they're unfairly, you know, expecting something out of that individual that individual can't give them. This one time, knew as a couple was getting married and the woman, you know, was talking and said about this guy, like he was just going to take care of everything in her life. And I just told her, I said, you're going to be very disappointed in life. Because I said, number one, you know, you're a Christian, but he's your God. And then number two, he's a human. He'll make mistakes, and you'll crucify him for it. Because as soon as he don't do everything you like, you expecting him to take care of it, you'll be looking for somebody else to take care of you. They say, he can't meet all your needs. He was never designed to do that. Never designed to do that. See, we put undue pressure on people. You know, in the same way. You know, a guy could do it to his wife in the same way. Could undue pressure. And what happens? It never works that way. Marriages don't work out. When you do that, when you expect to be somebody to be what they're not. What they're not. And so living a life of faith. We're talking about living this life because God has a life for us to live. And I found this out. The faith life is a good life. It's a wonderful life. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, we live on, you know, clouds of ease and, you know, we're just sitting back and eating pomegranates and somebody's standing over us with, you know, palm leaves and, you know, we're not doing that. You're living in this earth. It's not never going to happen that way. But we have a life of faith that will work every time. It's just like the testimony this morning, a quick recovery. I don't know about you. Most people out here ain't having quick recoveries. Things get worse as they go along. Man, our society, you know, that today the doctor tells you you're going to be sick for 6 weeks. You'll probably be 12 if you don't know how to walk with faith. And I'm serious. People just, it's having a mess out here. And if you don't understand that, we're really in a tough position going on out here. They don't know what to do about it. They can't forecast the weather. You know, they can't tell you things that are going on and stuff. Things are a mess. People don't know. They can't tell from day to day the things that they have rested in and leaned on and their in all their education and everything like that. It doesn't work. And what happens when things change, when people have trusted in certain things and they quit? And see, I like the faith life because it never changes. Faith, you know, we're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and faith all of a sudden, how you walk by faith is different. It never happens. It's always the same. What you learn of the Word of God is called truth. See, and truth is different than just education. Men have education and they don't even really, you know, like that. They don't like it. You know, they're starting to bring the new math back again. They're going to have kids so messed up. I remember years ago they did it. You know, this is one of the most amazing things. The younger generation always comes along and thinks the older people were stupid, didn't know. And then they'll come along, oh, we're going to teach them that, oh, we learned this new thing. It's in the church world today. We have new stuff being taught in the church that has failed in the past, and these ignoramuses come along. The old school didn't know. No, we know. Because what happens is these older people are going to have to go and fix up your mess. They're going to have to correct your mess that you're going to make. And let me tell you, you know, it's just, you know, it's like that saying was, you know, the guy thought he was, you know, when he was something like, you know, 15, he thought his father wasn't very bright at all. And he said, when I got to 20 or 25, he said, I thought, no, man, dad is way out there. He said, I hit 35, and he said, I was amazed how much my dad had learned in that time period, you know. And that's where we're at today. You know, there is a wisdom that comes with age. I mean, it used to. I can't say it's, you know, that's always correct today. I meet people that are my age are just as dumb as a stick. And, you know, three-year-olds are smarter than they are. And I just wonder what life they have lived before that they got so stupid. You know, you'd think that they would at least rely on the things that they had learned in the past of life, you know, to live and work at. But we need to be careful in these areas. Now, we're over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it's a really a wonderful writing that we have there. And we're going to look at some things because there's principles, and this is about living a life, not just looking at principles. Understand, we can teach faith, and we have been teaching as a principle of how things work. We talked about the areas of hope, and you have to have hope. You just can't get by without having hope. Faith, it says in the beginning, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. When we're talking about living a faith life, we're not talking about living by what you see. Not living. You know, there's things all the time people say, well, you know, that there's hard to do. No, it's not. You do it all the time. People give you information on the television and tell you things. You have never seen it happen. You don't know that it happened. You weren't there. And they tell you it happened and you believe it. Go tell other people. You prepare and live your life like it's happened. So nobody can ever tell me that faith's a hard life. Everybody's living it. We're either living it in the natural or we're living in the spirit. One of the two. We either believe in concerning the spirit realm, but we always, everybody has a choice of what we decide to believe. You have a choice to believe right things or wrong things. It's your choice. You have the choice to believe what the media tells you or what the Bible tells you. You have a choice. You know? But most people, they'll go with the scientist. They'll go with this guy. They'll go with that guy. And they'll talk about, well, this faith stuff over here isn't practical. Sure, they have never walked it or lived it. They've never experienced it. You're not going to start off, you know, just experiencing. God isn't going to turn around, show up, 5,000 angels show up, sit down, walk you through this whole system, and that till you become comfortable with it. Nobody did that in any other thing. Why would God have to do that to you? See, we're expecting all kinds of things that we don't need to expect. We have a choice of whether or not of the things that we want to believe. And I just determined when I was a young Christian, I got born again, and I just determined, well, I had lived a life of sin. I lived a life following my own plan that I designed, that I wanted, and I saw it crash pretty good. It was making a mess of things, and I saw, well, I could figure that one out. And I just decided I needed a new way of life, so I was going to set myself to follow the Word of God. Now, I found this out. When I decided that to do that, I was really, in many ways, on my own. Because most Christians weren't even going that way. But see, this is most people. Now, understand, this is where a lot of people don't like it. The faith walk is not a walk that most people are on. And so what we're trying to... Well, lots of times people think, well, they get a little lonely along the walk because everybody is going opposite. So what they do is they start integrating some of the world's stuff into them because, you know, I don't like to be unpopular, people not like me, but I come to the point of it really don't matter anymore. I am fed up with all the junk of whether people like me or not. Why? Because there is a life that can be lived that will change people and help people. And I found out about this life and it works. I found this. If I compromise it, it doesn't work for me nor does it work for them. You don't reach people with a compromised message. Today, the church world, and most of the church world, people that say they believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and they've confessed Him as Lord, most of them have compromised the message today for the trying to reach people. We don't want to get touchy over and touchy. Don't tell anybody they're wrong. People, you know, come to church. Don't tell anybody they made a mistake or they're doing stuff wrong. Don't do that. It'll hurt them. They won't come back. Why? Because they'll go to one of the other 5,000 churches in the community that will tell them, keep living like hell, it don't matter. Jesus loves you. Well, I read the rest of the Bible. It says you reap what you sow. It says if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. In other words, they're telling those people, yes, Jesus loves you if you live like hell, but you're going to pay for it in this life while you're here. The devil's going to eat your lunch. And when you're down there, you know, and you're sick and you can't get well, remember, you earned it. This is payment. See, this is why we want to learn to walk by faith. This faith walk is a wonderful, wonderful walk. Because if I learned this over time, if I follow it, I like the paycheck a lot better. Look, I lived 30 years getting paychecks. And they were never good ones. You know, every time I thought I was getting ahead on something, I didn't get ahead on nothing. And so we want to live this life. So this faith life that we're living in. In verse 2 it said, for the elders obtained a good report. The elders he's going to read here. These elders are men and women. Now understand this. If you follow through on these people are from different generational time periods. So in other words, God is showing us in this thing, people from different generations and times, a person who walked by faith, a person who pleased God, a person who followed the faith life. And we'll quick look at some of these people. We want to eventually get around, and we're going to get around to Abraham. God said, told me that in the beginning, and teach Abraham, and every time I go back to him, he tells me, now, you talk about these other ones too. And I said, oh, dear Lord, we're going to go through all this anyhow. But, I like to talk about Abraham because I like Abraham. Because the Abraham, you know, as we need to know this, I just thought it came to me this week about the things because people consistently make the statement that the Pentateuch is the first five books of the Bible. But they say that's the law. But actually, the book of Genesis ain't the law. There's no law in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is a book of promise. It's like ours. Our covenant's a covenant of promise. Genesis, you can look at Genesis and find in it the foundation of walking by faith and the promise of God. It's all laid out in the book of Genesis. All those people walked and lived by faith. Abraham is called the father of our faith. He's over there. He's the father of our faith. Just think of that. He's the father. Well, if he's the father of my faith, well, then it sure ain't law. My faith is not founded in the law. My faith is founded in Christ Jesus. It's founded upon promise. Hallelujah. So, we have this. Now, so these people came out of different generations. And we're going to find some things about these people. So many people look at these as rocket scientists. These weren't rocket scientists. We're going to find out how did they walk by faith? How did they live by faith? What did they do? Well, there's things that are told specifically that they did or they performed. So these people, through this age or time period, these people, as we looked at, these are out of different generations of people who followed God's plan and purpose for their life. And we'll begin to look at these. And so it says, by faith we understand, verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen, the things that you see in this earth, he's talking about this earth, the things that you see in the earth, these things that are seen, they were not, it tells us here clearly, those things, which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, when we make things in this realm, we make things from things that are visible. We take things that already exist in this earth, and we make things out of them. You know, we make products. You're sitting on a chair that somebody took things that you see in this realm. They took trees, they got wood, or either, you know, they do some kind of, you know, they can do fabrications of all kinds of stuff today. They have stuff that looks like wood and stuff, but it's not. But all of it is things that we see that make things. This earth did not come out of the visible realm. And you always need to understand this. The realm that is the real realm is the realm of the spirit. It's not the earth. The Bible tells us this is temporal. This is where most Christians miss it, where most Christians have the most problem. Most people are living like this is the eternal realm. They're trying to fight and make this the eternal realm. People are stuck on this thing trying to live forever in the natural. They're trying to do everything. Oh, you know, I can eat the right things, do the right exercise, do the right this, that, you know, how can I do, but I want to make it, I want to live. I'll tell you what, I ain't playing that game. Ed's moving in the area of leaving. I am not fighting to try to stay here. Because the people who are doing that, they're miserable. And they're making everybody's life miserable. They're the ones that, no, we're going to regulate how much salt you have. We're going to regulate this. We're going to regulate. Now look, if you're one of these people fighting for it, you're helping this stuff along. The church got to leave this junk. The church got to stop and say, hey man, we're here, God's going to take, I'm going to stay as long in this earth as He needs me here. And I'm going to go, and the devil ain't taking me out. No matter what they decide, I died, I should have. But see, these people are trying to do all this stuff. I'm not a burden on the health system in America. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid if nobody gets any health care. Because God ain't dead. We were singing, He's alive. Well, it's time for the church to act like it's so. Is He alive or is He dead? Do we know either way? But we find out here, this earth was created from what cannot be seen. If we would go back to Genesis, we won't. But you go back to Genesis, and when God created the trees, we don't find that God came down to the earth here and He went and looked around for, you know, some stuff to build a tree. He didn't do that. Do you know what's the most interesting thing? Do you know the only thing that's been created in this realm that actually came something from this realm is your body. And it came from dirt. So quit treating it like it is so wonderful. You're dirt. Every one of you, you're dirt. Get over it. You're dirt. When I found out I was dirt, that settled the whole thing. I ain't worried about that stuff no more. I refuse to let this body dominate my life. I refuse to allow this body to dominate my life. Because it ain't dirt, you ain't going to be doing that. Isn't that amazing? Do you ever think about it? All you look at in creation, the only thing that God created and He formed it out of something, He took dirt and made man. And ever since, man just thinks he's so wonderful and so absolutely the greatest thing in the world. We're walking around this dirt body, just rules people like crazy. Ruled by dirt. Hallelujah. So I don't want to be ruled by dirt. I don't want to let this body, this body is an incredible thing that God designed and God made. It's an absolutely phenomenal thing. But it's dirt. Hallelujah. But if I understand that, you know, it's of the earth. The Bible says that this body is of the earth. This human body right now isn't of the heavenly, it's of the earthly. It's earthly. But the inner man's of the heavenly. Hallelujah. There's a godly man on the inside. Woo! Hallelujah! See, we focused on the outside instead of on the inside. Hallelujah. The real man. Glory to God. And so getting ourselves looking in the right direction. But where did all that come from? The stuff that we see in the earth, God spoke it into existence. It came out of the realm of the Spirit. That's the eternal realm. God could make trees and all kinds of things out of that unseen realm. He could take this body down here out of some dirt and turn around and make what He made out of it, out of dirt. I never seen anybody take dirt and do what God did with it. I never seen nobody do that. And what He did with it, now if He can do that, He can take care of it. He knows how it works. We can trust Him with our bodies. And that's what He wants us to do. He just wants you to trust Him with your body. You know, it's not a hard thing. He just wants you to trust Him. You know, the Bible says this, that Jesus, He bought your body with a price. He bought it. He owns it. You think he's a guy down here trying to put cancer on it and do all kind of crazy things to it? You know? I mean, he'd be an insane thing. You go buy something, let's just tear it up. Is that what he did? No, he didn't do that, did he? And so we can trust him with it. He wants to care for our bodies. And so he wants us to walk and live this. But this world was framed. God spoke things and this world was made. And all these things that we've seen, they came out of this realm of the Spirit. And what really is his idea of faith? All along, we're finding out that God's plan and purpose for humanity, there's people who walk the life of faith. And in that walking a life of faith, they made things happen out of the spirit realm manifest into the physical realm. It isn't changed. There's still creation going on. It isn't changed. You know, people talk about Jesus and they talk about God being incarnated. God's incarnated today. He lives in Ed. Does he live in you? So he's incarnated in a body, isn't he? Is the Holy Ghost in you? You know, people walk around and talk about the incarnation. It's like it's some crazy thing. What? Hold it. God's still living in a human body. We say he's in us, but we really don't. We don't think in that manner. We don't think in that way. God's still incarnated in human bodies. We'd sure believe the devil would be living in somebody's body. Oh man, we got big faith in that kind of stuff. You know, somebody be possessed. Well, I'll tell you what, praise God, I'm possessed. Possessed by God, not the devil. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But see, you get over your thinking right. Get yourself into right thinking. Hallelujah. God's still living in human bodies. He hasn't changed. If God the Holy Ghost is in you, then God's in you, isn't he? Glory to God. So God's living in a human body, isn't he? You know, Christianity is the only religion that believes that God lives in people. See, we're all this bit. We sit around and argue with people about other religions and that stuff. All you got to get over is God lives in me. The thing stops. They'll say, well, you're just a crazy guy. God don't live in no human. Could even do that. I'm going to tell you, if God doesn't live in humans, there ain't nothing going on. So forget it. We'll all end up in hell. God is living in human beings. That's what makes the difference. Hallelujah. You got born again and God's living in you. And that separates us from every other religion. Every other religion is trying to get to God. Our religion is the only one where God got to man. The craziest thing is most Christianity is still preaching to people trying to get to God. You got to change your theology. I ain't trying to get to God. People today are seeking God just like they did in the Old Testament. They're trying to get God behind the curtain. God ain't behind the curtain. Glory to God. God's living in people. Hallelujah. He's not hidden. People say, well, the heavens seem like brass. I'm sorry. In my spirit, the Holy Ghost don't have some brass wall set up. See, it just don't seem like you can get a hold of God. Well, if you'd start believing by faith the right things of what the Bible says, you wouldn't have that problem. But people start really to get over into this thing, and this unbelief. And they don't see it that way. But why? Because man doesn't follow the Word of God. Hallelujah. We've got to follow the Word of God, what the Bible says. Now, we have the first individual in verse 4. It says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. Hallelujah. You know what? Faith never stops. Faith never quits. Faith is an eternal principle. It has to be. It must be, because the spirit realm is an eternal realm. Faith. You know, when you operate in faith, faith is just, you know, it's like me. Anytime I've operated in faith and walked in faith, it is as real to me things I have done in the past by faith is just as real as the thing I'm believing God for right now. It never changes. The realm of the Spirit's always alive. I have never had any spiritual experience with God that it doesn't seem like it just happened yesterday. Any time I've had a manifestation or I've had a vision or a dream, it's just like it happened yesterday. I can remember it just as clear because it's a spiritual experience. It's not a physical experience. Physical experiences, that's what goes things over time. You'll sit down there and try to remember. To me, any of those things that happen in the Spirit, any of the times that I've stood in faith, that's why I can stand and tell testimony and testimony. To me, it's just like yesterday it happened when I stood and believed God. Why? It was a spiritual experience. Most people only have physical experiences. Most Christians only have physical experiences. That's why they can hardly remember. I get over in the Spirit, and I tell you what, I can just remember all kinds of stuff. I can remember every time I used standing in faith. I can tell you detail of it. You get over in the Spirit. You get over in the flesh, and after a while you're wondering, sitting there scratching your head. I wonder if God is real. I don't know. Once you get over in the spirit, it's just like it happened yesterday. It's like, my, it's like it's touchable. Hallelujah. Well, it is. And so we need to understand that as we look into the areas of faith, we find this Abel, he offered a better sacrifice than Cain. And I want to remind you, because if you remember when Mike Rendo was teaching on things on patience, and he made the statement concerning faith. He said, faith is where the will of God is known. You need to understand this. Faith always knows what the will of God is, or it's not faith. That's when people say, well, sometimes God heals, sometimes He don't. We don't know which. Then they'll ask you to pray for Him. Don't bother praying. I don't I tell them, hold on, I can't pray for you in that direction because you don't know what God's will is. We're not throwing darts at a dartboard. That's not prayer, and that's not faith. You know? They used, when I was a kid growing up, and as I grew up in the church world, I always heard them talking about blind faith. Well, there's a sense that faith is blind from the standpoint because you're talking about something of the unseen realm, but they really meant it's blind. You don't have a clue what you're doing. That's what they were talking about. And that wasn't faith at all. They weren't talking about faith. They were saying blind faith. Faith's not blind. Faith sees. Faith sees the answer and declares and claims the answer as belonging to them. If you haven't done that, then you haven't come to the place of faith. Faith is where the will of God's known. So we can take that statement and we can put it here to Abel. If Abel did something that pleased God, then he had to know what God's will was. And he did what God's will said. Now we have here, now just think about it. I want you to think about this. Now we think now, you know, if you want to really please God, because this is what most people are doing in Christianity today. They're trying to come up to believe God for some great, huge achievement. You know, I believe God for $50 million, and we got $50 million out of here. I tell you, these preachers out here, if you wouldn't let them beg for money, they couldn't get 20 bucks in. They do it by begging all the time, and always, you know, they usually use a good chunk of their show to tell you how much you ought to be, you know, you need help and that stuff. And we're going down, and we're going, boy, I tell you what, we're doing all this stuff and doing these things, and they're out there, they're doing this stuff. But coming down to faith, but I want you to understand the simplicity of the faith, because, see, most people don't think they can please God or walk by faith. I'm going to tell you, there's loads of these guys sitting around here talking about big achievements, and they've done very little of it by faith. They've learned how to manipulate people. I want you to understand the walking about faith. Just think about this. Abel is mentioned by God. Now here, you know, is this letter, maybe this letter was just written by some guy who was eating pizza and decided, let's write a letter to tell some people some stories. What do you think? Hey, Harry, come here. Let's write this thing. No, I believe this was breathed to God. It was sent to us. And it mentions Abel. And it doesn't tell us, we don't understand this. We don't know all about the other achievements of Abel's life. We do know this from the New Testament. The New Testament tells us Abel was a prophet. And we know this from the standpoint of being a prophet. God speaks to His people, you know, through the prophets. So God gave, He had a revelation. He had a revelation from God. He got a revelation from God. This we know, his brother Cain had the same revelation though. Because if you go over and read the story, God came to Abel and came to Cain and said, Cain, if you do what's right, before he killed his brother, he said, if you do right, I'll accept you. So he knew what was right to do. He didn't do what was right. See, one walked by faith. One man knew what God wanted. In fact, two men did. Two men knew what God wanted. One man did what God wanted, and one didn't. And what do we have here? Now, all we have is he just offered the right sacrifice. It doesn't tell, you know, that he believed for, you know, to build the first car or airplane or whatever. Or did. We're not talking about some huge, great feat. In other words, the revelation that God gave him, he did. This is talking about people who walk by faith, who pleased God. He pleased God simply by doing what he heard that God wanted him to do. That's how he pleased God. That's how he became righteous. He became righteous. He had a revelation from God. His brother did too. But his brother was the first person to start a new religion in the earth. Just like today, you can walk into churches. They call them churches in America. They have Jesus. They hang their crosses up. But they are different religions. They're not Christianity. They're different religions. They preach a different gospel. They preach different ways to heaven. They preach different stuff. It's not true. And see, what we come along with? God, the Bible says this, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Abel came and offered the lamb. Well, Cain did. Cain is the first guy who became the high priest of another religion. He came and said, well, look, I'm out here growing fruit and all this stuff. I'm going to take my gift to God. In other words, I'm going to give God what I want to give Him, not what God asked for. See, many people, here's where people are trying to do it. They miss it in the life of faith. They do many good things, many good stuff, but it's all their way of trying to please God. It's all their way of what, this is good and I'm keeping God happy doing all this stuff. Yet, from what God said to do, they're not doing it. They're not doing that. They're doing what they want to do. They're determining what they want in life. They're determining what is going to please, I'm going to please God by doing this for Him. No, it was a simple thing. God told them a blood sacrifice, that's what you have to give. That's the only way to have sin remitted. That's the only way to do it. So what did he do? He came and offered. He came and offered exactly what God said. There was no big role, was it? Can you imagine this guy, man? He's mentioned in the Hall of Fame of Faith. And all he did was just obey God and gave the right sacrifice. Well, that was a biggie, wasn't it? That was really hard. See, most people have complicated the faith life. This is why it don't work for them. Because they're trying to do what they're trying to jump through hoops and do this, and if I do this, God will really like me and do that, and da da da. They're going through all this rigmarole. It was a simple thing. He heard from God what to offer. His brother heard from God what to offer, and he didn't do it. So he ends up, what does he do? It's every time. The religious people will always try to kill the guy who walks by faith. It's always been that way in the century. You walk by faith and they'll hate you. Get over it. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Why? Because Jesus has come. Followers of Christ walk by faith. And everybody wants to kill them. All the religious people, let's stone these boys. We don't want them around. But we're trying to go through all this achievement and all these different things. This man is mentioned just because he heard from God in the right offering and he offered the right offering. He's a man walking by faith. He's walking by faith. God says, do this, and he's just there doing it. Just that simple. I mean, this guy gets mentioned, you know. It says here, concerning, he says, though he being dead, he still speaks. Why? We still use this guy. I mean, God put his name in the book. Just think of it. All this guy did, he got his name in the Bible, and all he did was just obey God about the right offering. And you know what? Cain is mentioned more than Abel in the New Testament, and it's because of his evil. And his great evil was this. He's tried to start another religion. He offered God what he wanted. And he is the name mentioned above. If you go through and read some of the other, go back down and read things that Peter said, and different ones. He's a God made. He's the head of all rebellion. Today, we got a lot of people out here who are sitting in a church where they're calling themselves Christian are in the way of Cain. They got their own little religions. They got their own little stuff sitting around out here, playing around, all their things. But they're not offering to God what God asked for. You know, there's one way to salvation through Jesus Christ. There's all kind of ministers out here talking about, well, you know, there's other ways. You can get down. You know, you can go around churches. Churches right here in this town, you go around the churches. And there's other ways to heaven. Walking, the offer, you come in and not offer you nothing but sin and a bunch of junk. That's what they're going to offer you. Oh, my words, we got crosses, we got all the stuff here. We have communion, we do all the things. Ain't nothing but death. It ain't nothing but death. When I found out, which helped me the most in being taught by Kenneth Hagin, that my Christian walk was about finding out what God wanted and doing it. Just find out what God wants and do it. Well, you know what? I found out wasn't that difficult. What was difficult is what people were requiring me. People were asking me to do. What they said, this is how you have to make this work. And I found out over time that they didn't understand the life of faith. They didn't know what faith was. They were living a life of performance. You do all these things, God likes you, He'll bless you. Well, I don't know about you. I was never, you know, the person that just did everything the greatest. So I just thought if that's the way you got to live this thing, we're in big trouble. We're in huge, huge trouble. And when I found out that I pleased God through faith, that changed everything. We have another here in Enoch. This is by faith. Now, I want you to go to this thing. Because most people I've ever heard mention the name Enoch, they do it unscripturally. And I have a clue why Enoch's gone. Now, listen to what it says. By faith, Enoch was taken away. How did Enoch get taken away? By faith. If Enoch got taken away by faith, he had to know it was for God's will for him to take him, wouldn't he? He would have to know it was God's will. See, people think, here, most, this is 99.9% of the church world. And I don't care if they sit the nicest Christians in the world and following God as best they understand. They all think he just really lived a good life and one day got taken. Because he was just such a good man. No, it says he got taken by faith. Is his faith. Not God's faith. Now, God gave him the word so he could have faith. But he believed God to be taken. We have another guy, Elijah. Did he believe God to be taken? He knew God wanted to take him. He believed it. Elisha and them knew it, and the other prophets all knew it. And he went out to the place where God wanted to take him. How was he taken? By faith. He wasn't taken just because he's nice. He had to believe something to go. I'm going to tell you what, I don't believe Jesus is going to come back and take a church for people that ain't believing me. We have no place in Scripture where people left just because they just happened to be in God's covenant. That's a bunch of bunk junk. We have no place in Scripture even gives you that idea. If they had to believe God to go, we will too. And I'll tell you what, there ain't many Christians believe in the rapture. All they say they do, but it's a bunch of bunk. Anybody, the Bible tells us if we have that hope, we'd purify ourselves. I know this, the most of the Christians living like hell, they don't believe in it at all. Because if the Word says, if you have this hope, you purify yourself. If you really thought Jesus was coming back, you'd get right. You can find out who's believing that number. Glory to God. It's by faith. See, I'm believing to be taken. Hallelujah. I believe he wants to take me. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I believe he wants to take me in spite of all, whatever. He wants to take me. What pleases God is my faith. And what pleases God is your faith. And see, this is why the church world, I just don't get the church world when it comes to the end time. Well, we just don't know, and you just don't know, and all that. When I hear ministers say that, you just want to slap them. Say, wake up, you stupid space cadet. The most important thing that's going to happen to the church, the fulfillment of the church, and we're supposed to be just ignorant not to have a clue about it. I mean, I'd never stay in a church with any stupid pastor like that. I only want to be around them. Dear God, might rub off on me and make me a nut. Hallelujah. Jesus ain't going to come back and you don't know nothing about it. Glory to God. He has more sense than that. I thought he loved us. At least the last I heard he did. Everybody else thought he loved us so we could sin like hell and just go to heaven anyway. That's what his love was for. But we have here, Enoch was taken. Why? So he had to know the will of God to have faith, didn't he? He had to know what God's will was to take him. He knew God wanted to take him and he believed God. Hallelujah. He's the first picture of the rapture of the church. He's the first picture of the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. It says he was taken away so that he did not see death. And was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. His testimony. What was his testimony that he pleased God? He was in faith for God to take him. He had this testimony. Do you know what? Enoch was telling people he was leaving. Enoch was telling people he's leaving. Oh, that's why. You need to understand this. These poor, simple people out here teaching, oh, the church is going to get caught away and nobody's going to know about it. This is junk. We have in Scripture the people that are given us of the taking away, which is Elijah, and we have Enoch. Both of them were letting people know that they were gone before they left. They didn't one day go, pfft. Enoch, if Enoch went, pfft, one day they might have thought maybe I buried him. How did they know what happened to him? Dear God, Christianity really, it's been a shame, the ignorance of the church world, the ignorance. There's been so much ignorance in the church world about these things. And what has happened because of these things, it's diminished the faith of the church. Hallelujah. And see, people don't know how to walk by faith. Yet these men were examples of faith. If they're examples of faith and people don't understand what they did, how on earth are we going to walk by faith? Now this guy's put in there. What did he did? He just believed that God wanted to take him. And he said, praise God, I'm believing God's going to take me away. I mean, the church world today would sure please God if they just believed Jesus wants to really take us. He'd be just downright tickled if people would just believe it. Hallelujah. And start telling people, you know, Jesus is going to come and take me. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but he's going to come and take me. Wow, I don't know where your faith's at. I can't tell you he's going to come and take you. That's about your faith. That ain't about mine. It's about my faith. See, everybody wants to hear, oh, you're going to go. Well, unless God tells me, I don't know that. But I know about Ed. Hallelujah! I'm not going because Ed's a wonderful man. I'm going because my God's good. You know what? And he wants to take me. Hallelujah! He told me. I read the book. Glory to God, he wants me to go. I read the book. I don't need to hear a voice from heaven. I read the book. The book told me he wants me to go. Glory to God. So I can tell people, he's going to take me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says we're supposed to be looking for this blessed hope. We're supposed to be looking for this thing. Church world living these last days, man, we're looking for paychecks. We're looking for this. We're looking for that. We're looking at everything. But the Bible says to look for. And this is why people don't walk by faith. The thing what God wants us to believe, we've sort of put all that in the back burner for stuff. I found this out. It's really easy to get stuff when you start getting in line with the right things to believe. You get in line. And I just encourage you. Get into line with these things. Hallelujah. This man Enoch, he pleased God. He was taken. He had the testimony. Running around telling people. You know, I'll be leaving. I see you going home to Mama. I said, Mama, sorry, but I'm going. God likes me so much, I'm leaving. I'll tell you. I see you, honey. I love you, but God's calling. I'm going. Most people today, my God, they'd hate to go and have to stay away from their family for a year. That's why, you know, I mean, my words, today we sit around and even with our soldiers, my God, they get away from the house 6 months and nobody can stand it. I tell you, all kind of people would God gave me the opportunity to go to heaven, I'd leave today. Say, well, what about your family? Well, good luck. What? I was understanding people. See, people think, oh, well, you know, I'm strange. No, you're not. You're strange. In the realm of the spirit, you're the weird one. We cling to this life like it is so hugely important. The only reason that I'm still in this life is because God had a calling. He told me that. I was trying to leave years ago. You get over in things of the Spirit, you can get sick of this, what's going on here. You can get tired of it. And I got over, and I'll tell you what, my heart was for leaving. Because it's a lot nicer on that side than this side. Anybody that's fighting to this side, man, I'm going to tell you, I know how to get healed, I know how to get well, and it ain't no fight. Hallelujah. My big fight is trying to stay here. And the Lord told me one day to knock it off because I was getting close to leaving. I wanted to go. Lord, I'm tired of this stuff. This life, man, there's such good over on that side. That's why sometimes what happens too is people don't understand. People get over in the areas of death. They touch into that realm over there, and then people start praying for them to live, and they don't want to stay here. Once they've seen over on that side, they're saying, adios, let me alone, I'm out of here. I'm going to tell you, you touching that side, and I'm going to tell you what, if you don't ever touch over on that side, you don't know a clue, it doesn't seem real to you what I'm talking about. But I've touched into those things, and the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, I want you to stop it. You understand this? People act like, well, you know, if it isn't God's will for you to go, you won't go. Don't tell me that. It wasn't God's will for me to go. He had to make me turn my faith off in that area because I'd have left. He said, you stop it. He said, I have things for you to do here. So I just said, okay, Lord, I'll stay here just long as soon as you tell me it's up, we're gone. I don't know what people want. I don't know what people... I'd rather do the will of God, and heaven's a real place. I understand Paul. Paul touched in it. He said, you know, depart with me with Christ is far better. You need to get to know God good enough that you want to be with him and not trying to keep dragging him down here. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? But see, that realm is a real realm. And you got to touch it. It's got to become real to you. Enoch, that realm became real. He touched into things. He said, man, I'm out of here. I'm out of here, guys. I'm believing to go. Hallelujah. And he's going around. His testimony was that I'm leaving. And then verse 6. Really. This verse, it's interesting to me because it was thrown in there after they give these two testimonies, and then they threw this in here. Actually, you could have probably thrown it up in the beginning, but I believe there's a real purpose in it, telling these people what they did. And we want you to know this because they're telling what people did with their faith. They're just simple believing what God told them, and they believed Him. God told them something, and they believed it. It says what? But without faith, in verse 6, it is impossible to please Him. Say this. It is not possible for me to believe God if I don't know what His will is. See, if I sit over in an area of faith and say, I'm going to go by faith, but I don't know what His will says, it's impossible for me to please Him. See, this is why I became a studier of the Word and getting into the Bible. I want to know what the Bible says. I want to know what God's speaking. I want to know what God says. Why? Because if I know what He says, I know I can please Him now because I can trust Him. I can believe it if I know what He says. That isn't a hard thing, folks. That's not hard. It's the thing is to find out what He said. What did He say? I need to know because I can't believe beyond what I know that He said. I can't be beyond that. If Abel would have never heard God, tell him what he needed to do for a sacrifice, he could have never done it by faith. He could have sat down and, like most people today, well, God, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. God, see, we're always doing trying to appease God, appease Him. It's pagan. It's pagan religion is trying to get God, going around, trying to get God to like us. Well, God, if you do this, I'll do that for you. You find out what God said, and you just believe, God, I want to thank You for giving that to me. God, I want to do this thing for You just because I love You. Hallelujah. I'll do anything You want me to do because I love You. But I know I don't have to do that thing to get Him to respond to me. What He'll respond to me is when I operate by faith, that pleases Him. In other words, when I know what He said to do, and I do it. We have two accounts here of people, and they're told how they please God. And one guy was told to give a sacrifice. The other guy, God told him, said, hey, why don't you come home and live with me? These are tough decisions. My God, it's hard to walk by faith. This word, walking by faith, it's just murder. No, they heard what God said. They are trying to do something. See, most people have to break out of the religious mode. Most people are trying to please God. And not by their faith. They're trying to please God through the works. If I'm going to stand in faith, then I've got to jump through all these hoops and I've got to do all this stuff. I want to do things that please God because I like Him. He's good to me. Not because I'm trying to get Him to do something for me. The book's all about what He wants to do for you if you'll believe it. That's what it's about. So if I believe it, and these two, they heard what God said and they acted upon it. And it says, then what's this? Now He wants you to, it's impossible. So without faith, it is impossible, or it's not possible, to please Him. You can't please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. Now, I want you to understand, it doesn't say believe that He is from the standpoint that people say God exists. No man's coming to God if he don't believe He exists. It couldn't be talking about what He is. Understand this. God must be what you are believing Him for. He must be. If you're believing God, just like you're believing God for healing, He is. If you don't believe He is your healer, you're wasting your time believing for healing. If you don't want it, we're singing this morning, my God will supply all my needs. Well, that's what you've got to believe He is. Is He or isn't He? Well, people say God's not really interested in all your money and all this kind of stuff. God's not interested. My money ain't going to heaven, but while I'm down here, I don't mind having some. I always find the people who make all this stuff about prosperity, they're always here. I really cracks me up because I know one preacher listened to him, and he has a big church, and he's knocking prosperity preachers while he's bringing down big bucks. And he's knocking prosperity because he's a lying, cheating scumbag. He's so Mr., we don't like the prosperity message. Why aren't you just, work for $10 a week? Keep your blab mouth shut. He's wearing, $1,000 suits, and he's walking around knocking other people, driving nice cars, and staying in great hotels when he goes places, and he goes and stays in, all the best stuff. But these other pagans out here talking about prosperity, And the only thing it is, I mean, he keeps pressing the collection plate, but he won't get nothing out of me. Because I want him to be poor after his faith. I want him to reap what he sows. He wants nothing, I'm giving him nothing. Hallelujah. Well, what we find out here again, this faith, I can't please God. I must come to God. In other words, when I come to God, I must have the information about God. I have to have information about Him to operate over in this area of faith, to know what He's going to do or what He is. What is He? See, a lot of people today believe God makes you sick. God's bringing the storms in, you know, so God ain't going to be your favorite weatherman. So why would you pray to God about the weather if He is the guy who sent the storm? Then that means Jesus and the Father were in opposition to one another. Jesus spoke to the storm and God sent it. So Him and Dad are in a war. Jesus said, I never did anything I'd ever see the Father do. In other words, why did He speak to the storm? Because that's what His dad does. His dad don't send storms. See, if you believe Jesus is the storm sender or the Father's the storm sender, well, then you can't pray. And see, many people waste their time in prayer because they'll say, well, look what God did this down here and He sent that storm and destroyed that place down there. God sent it. And next time a storm comes, they're out there, oh God, dude, that is happening to you. Oh God. You wasted your time. You believe God's a storm sender. That's what you believe. You think because you cry a lot, He's going to stop the storm. He is only moved by faith. You believing that He wants to stop the storm. If you don't believe He wants to stop the storm, don't bother. Don't bother. Well, see, we need to understand this. People go over and talk about walking a life of faith. Many people today, really, the idea and the word faith that is generally used is a meaningless word that is used among people. It becomes a meaningless word. You know, people ask, I've had over the years, people come and say, what's your faith? And I say, what on earth do you mean by what's my faith? Well, what group do you belong to? I said, it ain't got nothing to do with nothing. I said, my faith's in God. Where's yours? Say, what is it in your, you know, whether you're a Presbyterian, a Methodist, or, you know, Assemblies of God, or you're this or that, you know, you're Pentecostal, or that's where your faith is. That ain't my faith. Hallelujah. Most of that's all what men did. And, I believe there's many of those people started, the founders of those things started off good. But the people who end up taking it over ain't got a clue today what faith is. And I mean in all those groups. They ain't got a clue about that. That doesn't mean there isn't people of faith among them. There are. But there's many of them they're just totally ignorant about the things of faith. We find that without faith you can't please God. You must believe that He is. Now what does it say? And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Why? How do you seek Him? By faith. It says you have to believe this, that He's going to reward you for what you've asked. If you don't believe that, you cannot please Him. You must believe that He wants to reward you for what you've asked. If you don't believe that, you waste your time. Now, how would I know He wants to reward me with it? I must find out what He said. I have to find out what He said. See, it comes down to that. See, faith is where the will of God is known. When I know what God said about a subject, then therefore I can please God in that area by asking for what He said He would do. I can please Him. That ain't so hard, is it? It's not hard. It's not tough. You know, anybody can do this. And he can. Faith's not some, you know, you can take it, and we teach faith by principles of things, but when it comes down to walking and living it isn't really a hard thing. We do all the time things by faith in the natural from the standpoint. We believe what people say or what people done. We believe and we go act on it, do it. We get information even though it's wrong. We go act on it. We're acting what we believe. And see, we find out with here, it's a matter. You must believe that God is going to give you. See, that's when a person comes along, well, you know, sometimes God answers prayer, sometimes He don't. You know, like one minister said, well, Mark 11:24 is not for everybody. So, and I want you to think of it. If it's not for everybody, then in other words, prayer is not for everybody. And I'll guarantee you that ignorant moron probably has prayer meetings in his church. I know, if I go to his church, he'd say, we'll have a prayer meeting, I'd say, well, I won't be here. I'm one of the guys prayer to work for.
So I'm going to be home watching the ball game. You guys have a good time, all you guys. And I figured out that's why nobody shows up for prayer meeting, because there's usually a handful of people that actually believe they get their prayers answered. I know that most Christians don't believe they're going to get their prayer answered. That's how they wouldn't show up at a prayer meeting. You might as well laugh or say, oh me. Hallelujah, one of the two. Well, see, we have this ignorance today. This ignorance is running around out here. But the Bible tells us clear. These people found out what God said and they believed it. You know, it's not possible that I could believe that Mark 11:24 was not written to me too. I mean, you would have to be a complete idiot with the English language to be able to stop and say that's not for everybody. Because it's spoken to anybody praying. Say, well, excuse me, that's not for everybody. But see, people get over in their religious mode. They're used to this doing. I do my sacrifices to God that I like to give Him and do my stuff. I give Him what I think we ought to, how we ought to be. This is the way Christianity ought to be. It ought to be like this. And we have our own little things that we do and little things we go through. And we don't really realize we go into all that complicated mess and really not walk in the simplicity of faith. Find out what pleases God. Just go do that one. This pleases God? I believe there. I can walk by faith. God wants me to do such and such. Okay, what's my job? Just go do that. I'm pleasing God. I'm walking by faith. It's that simple. Do you ever think about it? It's that simple. See, people think walking this faith life is doing some kind of great, you know. Oh, man, you give your best offering. You know, guys are all the time telling people what they ought to be doing. And really, what they don't know is they're controllers of people, and they're not walking by faith. Always telling somebody what they got to do. That's not my job to tell you what you got to do. My job is to help you walk in faith. You hear from heaven, and you follow heaven. You know, you give your best. Yes, I will. I hear from heaven, and what heaven tells me to give, I will give it. But you aren't, if God says to do, you know, you're fine, but... You know, they're all wise, getting money in their pocket. Well, you know, you give to us, boy. You know, we're really a good ministry here. Well, you know, you need to understand this. There's loads of good ministries out here. Loads of good ministries. And I surely don't give to all of them. And many of them, they'll ask me for money. And I won't give them a nickel because that ain't my job to give them a nickel. There's things that God wants me to put my money into. Everybody's not supposed to give to everything. You ought to find out. That's why many people don't prosper. They never found out where they're supposed to be given or what they're supposed to be given to. They never found out. They never hear from heaven on what to do and what God's plan is for their giving. They don't know. And you got to find out what you are. Now, people over here, they're over here giving out here to this and eating their lunch over here. But they're serving that guy over there. Hold it. You don't do that. You know, unless God tells you specifically to do something, you got to learn to live, followed by the Word. And why? Because God wants to bless you back financially. There's many people He can't because they're out here have their own giving ideas. And you know what? They're good givers. But they're giving the wrong stuff. It ain't what God called them to be partake in or to do. And there's one thing. We're giving in America hundreds of millions of dollars to guys fraudulently. It's because people are more moved by what they see. They don't ever listen to find out what God wants them to do. There's a lot of scoundrels out here eating up a lot of money. There's a lot of ministries out here. There's a lot of this stuff today helping the poor ain't nothing but helping line people's pockets. But nobody bothers to, you know, don't ask God, you know, I'm doing something nice. I'm being nice, you know. I got a picture of a kid. See, this we're supporting this kid out here and that stuff. Are you supporting that kid? Did you ever meet him? Do you ever know? You know, anybody know who knows him except the guy that told you? Did God ever talk to you about it? And I ain't got nothing against, you know, helping out poor people. Not God. We give to poor. But I'm picky about the poor that I give to. I don't just give to everybody that every name calls and every place that calls himself a ministry or says they're doing good. I've got enough sense in my head. But people don't. It's wise. Because how much are you going to tell this? People are generally lazy. I'd rather want to feel good doing something than rather knowing that I'm doing something. Because to know it, I might have to check something out. And my words, I ain't getting off a sofa. I'm watching my favorite preacher. Well, that's good preaching anyhow. But I want you to get a hold of this, because as we go into this, and hopefully next week we'll begin to talk about Abraham, but I want you to get this fact, it's pleasing God, is done by faith. But I want you to understand, because as we go look at Abraham, we're going to find steps that Abraham followed. I want you to realize this, that these people didn't start off with a bunch of revelation. We don't know how much revelation that, say, Abel had from God, how much revelation he did have. Now, we know his dad knew God from a standpoint of, you know, God came down and walked with him. But, you know, we don't know from a standpoint of revelation how much really revelation they had. How much they really knew about God. How much they really, we don't have that. It seems to me that Adam and Eve really walked in a very baby way. They didn't have a lot of revelation. But we found a man who pleased God. It's just like with Enoch. How much revelation did Enoch have? We don't know. But we find this as God wanted him, wanted to use him as an example. He believed God and he was taken. He's put in the book. In other words, the revelation that they have is what God expected them. And you need to understand with you, it's the same way. Everybody is in different places, really, in knowledge of God. Everybody has, nobody's at the same spot. Well, you know, two people could be close to the same areas of having revelation. But I want you to understand this. Nobody's exactly at the same, is exactly at the same place. We're all different levels and whatever. You need to walk in faith in what you know God said. Not in what faith somebody else knows. And see, you know, you can get yourself out over here, and this is where a lot of people miss it. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to walk where Ken Copeland walks or something, and you know, they're just, you know, they're 5 years into the kingdom and they're trying to do something somebody's done for many, many years of walking in the kingdom. But we're talking about somebody who knows a little bit more, has a little bit more revelation from God in certain areas than some people do. Or anybody, you know, sitting in here in this congregation. I mean, there's people who are, this is newer, much newer to them, where other people understand things. But what we do is we walk in the revelation that we have. That's how you please God. I can't walk in some other man's revelation. Many times where people do wrong, we hear things preached. And they are not really a revelation to us other than we've heard it for the first time. Or we got this new information, we found, oh, this is really cool. And one of the things we do is we try to go walk in it and fall flat in our face. Is because it's never became a revelation to us. We heard somebody preach. You may have heard me preach a revelation. God gives me a revelation, and I tell you about that revelation. But that revelation has to become real to you. In other words, you need to look at that thing and study that thing and meditate in that thing till it becomes God speaking to you. Sometimes there was things that I picked up right away. I mean, it was just like when I heard somebody preach it or say it, and I saw it, and I thought, and it just went right to me. I knew it was mine. And I knew it. And there's other things that have taken really time to really, for me to grasp it and get it where I could really make it mine. It takes time. But until you do that, you can't really walk in an area by faith. It's something that you have to hear, you have to know. And this is one of the things, is revelation. When revelation comes to you, this changes everything. Just because you heard certain things said that sound really good, and it may be true, but they may not be a revelation to you. It may take time. There's things that really took years for me. I've heard them preached many times. I heard Kenneth Hagin say them over the years. But really, till I could grasp that thing, where that thing became a real revelation, where I knew God was speaking to me in that area, where I knew it was coming to me. See, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. We're talking about a spiritual thing. It ain't with the natural ear. The natural ear, you can hear all kinds of things say, all kinds of stuff, but has it really gotten into your heart? Many people are trying to live a life of faith out of their heads. You can't do it. Man, been there. Never works. The life of faith is out of your heart. This is why I can tell whether I'm believing God or not, because I know the difference between what's going on in my head and going on in my heart. My head gets pretty loud sometimes and can sort of blot out what's going on in your heart if you don't watch it. But you know what? As soon as I get quiet, I find out what's on the inside. You get quiet, you find out what's on the inside. And you say the outside, say, head, shut up, you idiot. You don't know nothing. But it's finding out what's on the inside, because that's where faith comes, faith of the heart, faith from the inside. You're going to walk by what's in here in the unseen realm. You're going to walk by that. You're going to begin to live by that rather than what you see on the outside and what's going on the outside. But it must become a revelation to you. See, you know, don't live in the areas of condemnation that others, somebody knows more than you. Look, it's all about growing up. We're all growing up. Other people are going to know things. Other people are going to know stuff. You know, if I hadn't learned some things, I couldn't teach you anything. Understand, the Lord said you ain't going to go any further than your teachers. If everybody knew everything was on the same level, we wouldn't need any teachers. Dear God, I need teachers. You know, I have to grow too. I need to listen to people. I need to listen to good teaching. So I grow. Because I got to keep growing. You come to a point. I know ministers, they don't grow at all. And their people only come to a certain place. They never grow beyond it. They can't take their people. And after a while, people are looking for somebody else. Teach them something. And they're looking for somebody else. And what you do, get the people around that don't want to learn anything. And if somebody expects something out of them, they go to the churches where they expect nothing out of them. Well, they'll spend their whole time kissing on them and patting them. You know, they'll do all my praying. You know, just put me on the prayer chain all the time and just do all this stuff. And you're always praying for me and I'm always in trouble. And help, help, help. Well, we don't want to go there. So we found that to please God, we have to walk in this life of faith. Hallelujah. And you and I can do it. Hallelujah. You can live this life of faith. You can find out what God's saying. You know, we have the most wonderful thing. These people that we're going to look at, they didn't have the book. You know, you and I are the most fortunate group. God gave us a book. And it tells us all kinds of things in here. The revelations that these men and women had, those revelations are written in this book for us. We have the wonderful opportunity to sit down and look in this book. We had Jesus Christ Himself and His story written through four individuals of while He walked in the earth, revealing about the kingdom of God. And we have all these parables of how the kingdom works. Could you imagine if Enoch would have had those things? The Son of God walking around on the earth to tell us and give us revelations of how the kingdom works? Can you imagine that? I mean, they would have went crazy over it, and the church pays no attention to it. But these men, you know what? They had to hear from God. It doesn't seem that they had much of preachers in that day. I mean, think about Noah. I mean, Noah's out there for 120 years preaching there's a flood coming. 120 years. And most Christians can't stand for 15 minutes. He's 120 years preaching, building an ark out there. You know, we'll talk about him some, but he got heard from God. And what did he do? You know, he just did what God said. He did what God said, and he did it, surely with patience. He kept on doing it, but he heard from God. You and I have this wonderful opportunity to look in this book, and there's things written here that God has written to the church. Inspired letters that were written to Christians that you and I can glean from. Revelations from heaven that are in this book, that are in here for you. And I found this out. The more that I have looked into this book, and the more I've grasped this book, the more God has spoken to me personally. This is one of most people's problems. They've never looked in the book long enough to hear. God wants to talk to you personally, and I just want you to understand this. There's things that God needs to speak to you personally because your name isn't specifically put in things, and I always use the example. I was called to the ministry. There's no place in here that has Ed's name, and you're called. How do I find out? God had to speak to me. God had to tell me. And there's things God's going to have to tell you, and you are never going to find out from a preacher standing preaching to you. You'll never find it out. You can't go to church and get it in a sermon. But if you'll be in, that don't mean those sermons can't help you know God so you can go after God. But you want to hear from God. God wants to speak to your heart. God wants to speak things to you so you can live by faith the way He wants you to. He wants you to do certain things. Like I said, give it. He wants me to give in certain areas and do certain things. How do I find that out? How do I know where He wants me to give? How do I find out? Well, I just don't run around here. Well, I like him and I don't like him. I like him, don't like them. Okay, let's give to this one over here. That's what most people are doing. You know, they hear somebody and somebody makes them happy, they give them an offering. The guy gets up and preaches it and tells them to get their life straight, he don't get no offering. That's exactly what most Christians give. Somebody correct them, they don't give them a nickel. Somebody tell him, you're just a wonderful thing, the whole cute little bugger. You're just so cute. And you know, don't worry about your life. You're just going to be all right. Jesus loves you. Write him a check right now. We want to help that ministry. You know, God wrote to a guy named Titus and he told him to rebuke. Rebuke. My words. I'll guarantee you, most of the churches in America, and I'm talking about Spirit-filled churches, would throw you out if you went there and preached a rebuke to the people. They'd throw you out. You ain't allowed to do it. I know. I know with traveling ministers and that stuff, good friends of mine. Man, they put you out of churches. You speak any kind of rebuke. You know, I know Gary Bailey talked about churches that won't have him back because he corrected some things. You know, he got a scumbag pastor. And he's a leader of a minister's fellowship. I mean, you can't trust what's going on. You need to know God, folk. We got to stop this, you know, little old Christianity that's going on out here, this little game that's being played. Because people, you know what? There's more love for their stuff than it is that a lot of ministers do than for the people. They don't care what happens to people as long as they get to have, I want to have a big ministry, I want to have a big this or big that. Hallelujah. Well, we ain't going there, folks. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. You know, I just want to encourage you, can walk by faith. You can walk by faith. Just start practicing the things that you know in your heart, the things that are in you. If there's things you're not sure about it, you just keep going back to the Word, looking at the Word. You keep talking to God about those things till they become a surety in you. When they become a surety in you, hallelujah, then you just step up and say, God, I'm just going to trust you. Hallelujah. This is you speaking to me, and this is what I'm going to start walking in a direction. You know, that's all these people did. They just acted in the direction. They talked the direction. It's just like, you know, with our wonderful guy Enoch, and I like him. You know, he just went out and told people, be seeing you, we're leaving. Hallelujah. God is going to take me. I'm going to tell you what. Somebody saw him leave because it's written in the book that he left. How would they know that he left if nobody saw it? I'll guarantee you there was a crowd saw it. There was a crowd saw him leave. You know, the crowd saw Elijah. People saw Elijah leave. I mean, the prophets went out there to watch him. His whole slew of prophets went out there to watch him go. My word, you went today and somebody says, I'm going to leave tomorrow, God's going to take me. You couldn't get 10 people from all the churches in town to come out and see you. They wouldn't believe no more God take anybody. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, it will change. It's going to change. Before Jesus comes back, there's going to be a church that's going to know that they're going. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, we ain't going to be building buildings. We ain't going to be buying new houses. We aren't going to be marrying and giving in marriage. We're going to do just like the Bible said Noah do. We going in the ark, God's closing the door, and we're out of here. Hallelujah. We're gone in a flash. And they're going to stand there and say, well, what did he do? Huh? I can just see the Sunday message before we leave. I can just see most of the churches standing around America. Well, those idiots out there, you know, down there, well, my words, who do they think they are? And after we leave, I wouldn't want to be that minister. There's going to be a lot of mad people in the congregation. I'm sure there's going to be many ministers looking for new jobs with the Antichrist. It ain't going to go well. Hallelujah. Well, praise God, but we're going. And let's keep ourselves encouraged. You don't have to do any great feats. Just do what God tells you. Do what you see the Word. You're walking by faith. Isn't that wonderful to know? You're walking by faith. Just doing what you know to do. Hallelujah, Father. I just want to thank you today. I thank you, Father God, that these words, Lord God...